It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, the Ministry of Torso, Times of Refreshing, Simplicity of Eden Ministry. We're glad to have you with us. We want to, before we have our prayer, tell you that we will not be able to have the broadcast in the morning, okay, in the morning. But so that means that on, what is today? I think today is Tuesday. So that means we will not be here on Wednesday, but we'll resume on Thursday moving forward, okay? So God is good. Sometimes we're just not in a situation, a position to be able to broadcast. So we're glad to be with you today. We did have to take a couple of days in the past due to a funeral that needed to be attended, but God has brought us back together. It's time for our opening prayer at this time. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together, to be able to open up your word. Lord, we thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night, your protection that you've provided for us. And now, Lord, as we go into this morning's broadcast, we ask for your spirit to come and teach us the things we need to know. Please anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and help us always to grow in grace and in wisdom. These things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Yeah.
Amen. Our topic this morning is how shall we preach? How shall we preach? We're studying 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How shall we preach? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We come before you with thanksgiving. We enter into your courts with praise. We are just grateful for you being the God that you are and for reaching us. We thank you for spiritual things and for allowing us to be able to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Be with us in this day and in this July 4th. We pray for safety, for traveling mercies, for those who are in a celebratory mood. May we not forget Jesus at this time. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How shall we preach? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." So he basically begins by telling us how not to preach or what is not required in preaching. Your speech does not have to be perfect by man's standards, and your wisdom or your education does not have to be perfect, or you do not have to have advanced degrees in order, or any degree by man's standards, in order to preach the testimony of God. Paul had all of that, but he learned that it didn't reach the soul. It impressed. He won arguments. You could not debate him successfully unless you were Deacon Stephen, whose wisdom he could not gainsay. But for the most part, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they couldn't touch Paul, but it didn't reach their heart. "For I determined," he says in verse 2, "not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." You see, brothers and sisters, it's important that we just lift up Jesus. If you lift up Jesus, that is the solution to the world. The world is in a messed up state. People have struggles with temptation, struggles with sin. People are judgmental against other people who have struggled with temptations and struggled with sin. And we need to understand that God is the only one who has the true remedy. And if people don't get to know him, they will not be saved spending too much time looking at someone else or even at our own selves and our own failings, so on and so forth. So he said, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." You see, Christ is the standard, and when you study Jesus Christ, you study his character of love. God loved everybody. We love him, it says, because he first loved us in 1 John, and 1 John 4:19. And brothers and sisters, as we study his lovely character, we can't help but love him. And when we love him, we begin to love others, even those who are challenged. We are challenged to love. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." You see, brothers and sisters, we can try to impress. We can try to write sermons with words that are enticing. But God wants us to have the Spirit of God, and he will speak through us. There is a danger of writing out everything in a sermon, because then you don't give room for the Holy Spirit in the moment to use you. But when you have the Spirit upon you, brothers and sisters, yes, you prepare, yes, you study. That doesn't mean you don't have any notes, but the Spirit of God takes over and begins to speak through you to reach the heart. It says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had not known it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We live in a society where the end justifies the means, where men would do things that are unethical, unrighteous, and even persecuting the people of God to move forward with their agenda. There are many people who want to have reach political heights, and there are some challenges there, because if you have to compromise even one principle, brothers and sisters, to reach a political height to be elected, you sometimes have to side with a party. You always have to side with a party in today's society in order to gain, the personal goals that you want to gain. And that's why we choose to be nonpartisan, because unless we can agree with everything that a party proposes, everything that a party has done, we choose to stay with the party of heaven. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my children fight." So it may disappoint Democrats that we're not Democrats, and it might disappoint Republicans that we're not Republicans. But the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that we represent Jesus Christ, and that should not disappoint anybody. So if you're disappointed, something's wrong, because this is what Paul is talking about. We get into pastoral work and preaching and teaching, and then we ally ourselves with politicians and political stances, and we try to weave that in and bring people to speak to our congregation, to pull them toward the Democratic agenda, or pull them toward the Republican agenda. And the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is people end up arguing in the church whether it should be Trump or Biden and all that. And that should never be a subject that should enter into the holy house of God. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Why is it hidden wisdom? Do you know you cannot fully explain the working of the Holy Spirit on your heart? You see, everybody listening to this broadcast, I believe, is being drawn to Christ. You see, so if you're being drawn to Christ, that means Christ has not given up on you, okay? So if you're being drawn to Christ, that means that you're responding to that drawing. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You might be drinking. You might be smoking. You might be being immoral. You might have a proud heart. But if you are not resisting the moving and the drawing of the Holy Spirit, God is going to work. You actually, brothers and sisters, have to refuse him. There is a... scripture. Let me try to find the scripture for you. It's really beautiful, the concept, when you fully understand this scripture. The scripture, you heard it before, it's John 12:32. "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Did you know, brothers and sisters, that you do not need to know Greek or Hebrew to understand the Bible? But every once in a while, a little understanding of it, and you don't have to study it. You can just look it up, okay? You don't have to have studied Greek and Hebrew. And there's just so many resources out there already. So that word draw, he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Do you know the Greek word for that actually means to drag or to carry? So think about this. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, from the earth, I will drag all men unto me, or I will carry all men unto me. Have you ever seen a little child acting up, and their parents pick them up and walk them away from whatever they wanted to do, and they were kicking and screaming, and the parent was carrying them away, okay? Maybe an adult would, when the police come and that person won't leave, they have to grab the person and drag the person out, okay? Well, that's what this word draw means. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will drag, I will carry all men unto me. So what is God saying? What is Jesus saying? In order to be, in other words, brothers and sisters, God is not going to allow it to be said that he could have done more to save us. He will carry you. He will drag you, but you still have to be willing. So if in the dragging you start off kicking and screaming, or when you carry, like a little child kicks and screams, they want that toy, they want to be where that whatever is, and they kick and scream, but there comes a point in time where you have to, God's going to let you go if you just keep kicking and screaming and biting and fussing, and he's not going to be like the parent to the child that just keeps the child away from danger. But it does show how much God is willing to do to save us. If I will draw, if I be lifted up, I will drag and carry. That's kind of like somewhat against your will, but you see, there comes a point where God will work in a way where we don't know any better, and we are just kind of messed up, and we can't get ourselves away from the mess that we're in. He will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. But then there comes a point in time where he gives us the choice, the power of choice, and he will not do for us what we cannot do. He will do for us what we cannot do by ourselves, but he will not do in us what we could do. How do I say that? Let me say it right. He does, this is how God works. He does for us what we cannot do by ourselves, that he does in us what we could not do by ourselves. I don't think I'm saying it right. But one is justification. One deals with he does for us what we could not do by ourselves. Then he does in us. That means we're working together what we could not do by ourselves. So that's how it is. So brothers and sisters, there comes a point in time. Yes, Christ will do for you what you might not do, be able to do by yourself. But he wants to work in you. And there comes a point in time where he won't force you to do it. So even though he draws, he drags, in other words, he'll do all he can to get you out, but you have to make the choice. We don't believe in predestination, except that we're all predestined to be saved, but we do have to choose the gospel of Christ. And that's what people miss when they misunderstand predestination. We are not guaranteed a place in heaven unless we choose to follow Jesus. And I just wanted to take you to understand that there is a drawing power of God. It is a power that is greater than any power on this earth, brothers and sisters. It is a dragging power. It is a power that will pick you up and get you out of a mess, even when you don't even know what you're doing. You're kicking and screaming, but you have chosen to follow Christ, but then we're caught up in sin, and God says, okay, I'm going to give them a fighting chance, and he's going to pull you out. He's going to drag you out, but you still have to be willing. Unlike a little child who's kicking and screaming, they don't know any better. We have we are at the age of accountability, and so God's not going to keep dragging it when we're kicking and screaming. If we eventually, when we see that love that he has for us, if we go back to the filth and the mire, he will let us go, friends. So this is beautiful. It shows the power of God, and we go back to Paul's preaching here. It says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You see, brothers and sisters, the gospel is a power that we cannot fully explain. And that gospel, it will save to the uttermost those who come to God. And we can't fully explain the gospel. How can you fully explain? That's why it's called the mystery of godliness, God coming in the flesh, God coming in my sinful flesh. God knows everything I've ever done. God knows all that my history, the dark side of my history, yet he wants to come and fill me and bathe me with his love and turn me away from those wicked pathways that I have chosen to go in the past. But when I respond to his love and growing and glowing, how is it that temptations lose their power? We can't fully explain that, brothers and sisters, but they do. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So, brothers and sisters, most church leaders are not thoroughly converted. If we look at history, they weren't in the Jewish time, they weren't in Christian times, and they weren't in the Protestant times, and they are not in the Advent times. We're at the second coming. We're very close to the second coming. And you do not see the power of God reaching people, true healings and true conversions. We see people making professions. Yes, people are baptized, sprinkled, whatever. And I'm not saying that everybody that comes to Christ is insincere, but I'm just saying the general trend of the movement is not a trend that is telling people that they must surrender all to Jesus and keep all of his commandments, friends. The truth is not the trend. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So brothers and sisters, here Paul speaks of this entity, this wonderful member of the Godhead called the Holy Spirit, and he's the one who does the work of convicting, converting, leading, guiding. And so it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And even if you are caught up in sin, the Spirit of God is wooing you. He's pulling you. And if you don't resist, remember, God will drag you out. If you don't resist, he'll get you out. He'll carry you out. But you cannot resist and continue to resist the working of the Holy Spirit. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Friends, this is a scripture that teaches us how we know that we're in the truth, because you let the Bible explain itself, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's why there's so many different churches, why there's so many different denominations. It's because we're not comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let the Bible explain itself. Don't just make a decision to do what's popular. Yes, it's popular to go to church on Sunday, but that is not the day that God ordained that we should have that special worship with him. It is the Sabbath. Why? Because it memorializes creation, and that's what you need to be saved. You need a God who can create in you a clean heart. So why would we walk away from such a wonderful principle, brothers and sisters? The Sunday worship is the child of the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church. With boldness and evil in their heart, they said, we are going to go against the Bible. We are above the Bible. We're above the very word of God, and we are changing this day of worship. They wanted to appeal to the pagans who worship the sun god on the first day of the week, and so they brought them in with all their money, because the pagans were wealthy, and many of them, and so they came into Christianity, perverting Christianity. And their two main, there were many perversions, but the two main perversions was Sunday sacredness, because that was in honor of the sun god, and then also the immortality of the soul. The pagans worshipped the dead and so on and so forth. So they brought that into Christianity, and they just Christianized it to teach that when you die, you go straight to heaven, and when you die, you go straight to hell. Neither of those teachings are biblical, brothers and sisters. The Bible says the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. That's what the Bible teaches. And so there were other things. They claimed that the communion, whatever they want to call it, wafer, bread, whatever, is the actual body of Christ. And the communion, grape juice, some call it wine, is the actual blood of Christ, and that miraculously the priest can convert it so it tastes like grape juice, and many times they actually drink fermented alcohol, and they can make his body converted in the mass to the actual cracker, so it tastes like a cracker, but it's actually the body of Jesus. And so there's many different, that's spiritualism, that's, you know, it's foolishness, but the bottom line is that That's not biblical, friends. It's not in the Bible. And they do a lot of things and did a lot of things. But primarily Sunday sacredness and the immortality of the soul, which teaches that when you die, you're still in a conscious existence. The Bible, and so we have brought that into Protestantism, and when you go to a funeral, they call it a homegoing. Every person who has died, they are lying to you. They are not home. They are not in heaven. They are not in hell. It's interesting that if we look at the trend, the majority of people, it's as straight as the gate, narrow as the gate, and few there be that find it. The majority of this world is going to go to hell. That's because they choose not to be dragged and carried, okay? They let me go when they're dragged and carried as Jesus is lifted up. But the majority of people, although God will have a people, the majority, friends, on this earth now, I'm not talking about in the universe. We're on the side of the majority in the universe because there's more out there than there are down here. This world is just a speck, a little grain of sand on a seashore of worlds in this universe. But this is the theater of his grace. All are focused here because this is where Jesus came to die for us. This is where sin, and the only place where sin abounds. And so as we move forward, we understand, brothers and sisters, that we're in the majority. But the minority on this earth will be saved, okay? That's because, again, most people will not accept this drawing. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what we already read, showing that we can understand the Bible only as we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, and the Holy Spirit allows us to compare spiritual things with spiritual. So the reason why people choose not to follow the Sabbath is because you can read a scripture or two where they met on the first day of the week and broke bread. But you ignore the ones that said they broke bread daily. Okay, so you say, okay, it was the beginning of Sunday worship. No, it's not in the Bible. It's just not there. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath. It's one of God's Ten Commandments, my friend. And I'm just sharing that because that's one of the main deceptions of Satan, okay? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So brothers and sisters, you're going to either be natural, meaning that you're going to reject the Holy Spirit, or you're going to be spiritual. Even if you're living in sin, you can choose to respond to the Spirit of God. That is your choice. He is going to drag and carry, but you do have a choice whether you will go. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul knew how to preach. He realized that all of his prowess intellectual attainments and his ability to form velvet words on his tongue, it didn't reach the soul. And he desired to just lift up Jesus, to talk about Jesus, to talk about his death on Calvary and his sinless life and how he gives power to become the sons of God. And we learned today, he said, if I be lifted up, I will drag and carry all men unto me. So that means that if you're lost, you just said, let me go. You might not have said those words, but with your actions, you just kept closing the door of the pleading of the Holy Spirit. So just stay open, and you, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And so God is going to, you might be weeping tonight, but joy comes in the morning. You might be struggling today, and one day you're going to look back at that struggle and you're going to smile and say, boy, I was really messed up back then. But you can't see the end from the beginning because you haven't experienced it yet. But God is working in your life. He's working in your heart. Don't resist. Just let the Holy Spirit keep working and teaching, and he will give you victory. Now, you have to resist the devil, but he will give you the power to do so. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Father in heaven. We thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your grace and power. Thank you for dragging us and carrying us, even sometimes as we kick and scream. But you won't let it be said that you could have done more to save us. And yet, Lord, the choice is finally ours. And so we pray that we will choose, as the song says, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Father, we pray for ministers that they will be in total surrender to you and will have the sweet grace of Christ in their lives and not pride. We pray for those who hear that we will also respond to the drawing of the Spirit of God and not be enamored and deceived by men and women who claim to be led by the Spirit, but we will understand the workings of the Holy Spirit on our own, that we will trust you. Thank you, Lord, for this message in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be back in a little bit talking about prostate cancer in our intermission time. And we want to remind you that we will not have a broadcast tomorrow, but we will, which is Wednesday. We will resume on Thursday. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. The Torso Song is next.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, run from the scale, our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Source of, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. We're going to be talking today about prostate cancer, friends, how to prevent prostate cancer. And in preventing prostate cancer, friends, that which you use to prevent, the world won't tell you this, but some, not that you might not need to do other things, but some of the concepts that God wants us to understand in the prevention of a disease are also to be used to help cure a disease, all right? But let's talk about prevention. We just want to go through the live-free lifestyle, okay? Prostate cancer, the prostate gland, is about the size of a walnut, but it's shaped like a donut, meaning that it has a center hole in it, and the urethra goes through it. That's the tube that takes urine and semen out of it, out through into the penis and out the body. And so when the prostate is not healthy, it's the largest reservoir of zinc in a man's body. So when there's toxins in the body and not enough zinc in the body because we eat the wrong foods and live the poor lifestyle, it can actually swell. And one indicator, a marker of prostate challenges is the PSA, prostate-specific antigen. And it will raise when you have enlarged prostates or prostatitis, that's inflammation of the prostate, and it will also generally rise when you have prostate cancer. So the first law of health in the Live Free lifestyle is love God. That's the L in live. And did you know that when you're under a large amount of stress, which we call distress, it increases your estrogen levels? That's right, men, we can have estrogen dominance as well. And that estrogen dominance in a man also causes a rise in what's called dihydrotestosterone. It's like a testosterone type of testosterone that's on steroids, no pun intended. It's a very, very more potent. And when you have too much dihydrotestosterone, that's what leads to prostate problems. The immune system is also compromised when you have lots of stress. So when we think of stress, stress is good. It's distress. So when you say I'm stressed out or I'm overwhelmed, we would call that distress. It's distress, not stress. Stress is a call to prayer, okay? When something goes wrong and we have to pray about something, we have a challenge, that can help you grow spiritually. But it's distress that is a problem. The second law of health in the Live Free lifestyle is include temperance. That's the I in live. Did you know that smoking, drinking, drugs, a life of excess, that means excessively working, excessive sexual activity, it removes or depletes your body of zinc. That means we are to be temperate in things even that God designed to be good. And as far as sexual activity, friends, we need to be married, okay? That's God's plan. And when we don't do things according to God's plan, that's when we run into problems, friends. Okay, intemperance also causes distress, which increases estrogen. We talked about that. So just living a life of excess. Temperance is abstaining from harmful things and then doing in moderation that which is good. That's a temperate lifestyle. So you don't do the things known to be harmful, and then the things that are good, you do them in moderation, because anything good, even studying, the Bible says, much study is a weariness of the flesh. You got to get out and exercise. You have to have balance in your life. The third law is vital water. It's the V in live. And when you have dehydration, it compromises your immune system, brothers and sisters. When you have dehydration, it also, allows more toxins, because the body uses water to get rid of toxins, and toxins are what cause cancer. So the body uses water to get rid of certain things via urination, okay? Certain toxins through urination. Certain things are eliminated through defecation. Some things are eliminated through perspiration. Some are eliminated through respiration. And some are eliminated through the liver through detoxification. And all of them require hydration. If you don't have enough water, every process that eliminates waste is going to be compromised, brothers and sisters. The fourth law is eat healthy. It's the E in live. And did you know that animal products increase your estrogen levels, we already know will increase your dihydrotestosterone levels, and then refined foods. You see, the whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead. So these refined foods, they also increase stress through nutritional deficiencies. And so your body is going through, you feel okay, but your body is going through stress, trying to keep your blood sugar regulated, and it still does the same thing as far as your internal. So even though you're not, may not be emotionally distraught, your physical stress is affecting your hormones, and you are still raising those estrogen levels. All right, the fifth law, which is F for fresh air, it's the F in free, live free. It's like a healing tonic when you get out in the fresh air, friends. It has lots of oxygen and negative ions, which help build the immune system. And we need to have fresh air. You'll be stimulated with energy, and even your mindset will be more positive. It kind of fights depression, and all of that plays a role in your health. The R in free is rest. Lack of rest increases more stress, distress. Estrogen levels increase. Lack of rest weakens your immune system, and so that's going to set the stage for cancer growth. All right, the seventh principle is exercise. That's the first E in free, in live free. Lack of exercise increases distress. We already know what stress does. It raises the hydrotestosterone, causes more toxins, and weakens the immune system. And then the final, enjoy sunlight. Vitamin D reduces prostate cancer growth. It also strengthens the immune system. And also, you get from the sunlight, can't think of the actual substance. I forgot what it is. It's vitamin D. Oh, it might be melatonin that naturally comes from sunlight, but that also has immune-building properties. You want to eat lots of tomatoes unless there is some contraindication. The lycopene in tomatoes has been found to prevent prostate cancer. And if it prevents it, it should be part of your curative regimen, okay? So definitely eat lots of fruits, vegetables, lots of things with color, a variety of color in your diet, plant-based diet, whole food plant-based diet. That's what we eat, friends, and I'll tell you that it saves us a lot of pain and heartache so that we are in a better position to minister to others. We want to encourage you to do and be the same. So that's how you can avoid prostate cancer. Just live free from prostate cancer, my friends. Want to remind you that we are not on in the morning. So on tomorrow morning, due to some circumstances beyond our control, we just will not be able to broadcast. But we want you to know that we will be back on with you on Thursday, and we look forward to that. All right, friends, it's time to open the phone lines and also do roll call. We start with Facebook. Probably a lot of people are off doing things for the holidays, so it's not too many on Facebook, but we have our dear brother Brian from Kenya. Praise God, from the country of Kenya in Africa. And then on Facebook, we have representation from Ohio. We have Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, 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 and Delaware again. Praise God for Delaware today. And we have New Jersey. We have Ohio, and we have Georgia on the line. So pass the word, friends. We're not on in the morning, but we'll be back with you Thursday morning. And we should pretty much be able to continue. Sometimes we're just not in a position where we have good signal or whatever the case might be and might need to take a break. But most days, 365, within the 365-day year, we are teaching the Word of God and fellowshipping with you. All right, who would like to be first? Press star 6, and if there's any comments, type them on Facebook. We have a good morning and a blessed day from Kenya, the brother Brian. And then we also have Sister Winston on the call. We'll take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Winston.
Good morning, Pastor. I just want to thank you for the beautiful message today. And I have been studying the Bible since I was a child, and I know the Bible interprets itself, and this is what I try to tell my family, you know. You have to let the Bible interpret itself, but they still choose to worship on the first day of the week, so I don't say anything to them anymore, but they know that on Sabbath, from Sunset Friday to Sunset Sabbath, that they are not to disturb me from my worshiping, since I've been doing it on the Zoom call and everything like that. But I do keep them in prayer because, like you said, God will drag them, you know. And and I thank the Lord because he has blessed me in so many ways. And I have a question I would like to ask you, and it's about cholesterol.
Yes.
Is cholesterol a fat?
Yes, it is in the fat category. I'm going to probably give you an official definition in just a moment. But yes, it is in the family. But let me give you an official definition. Well, let me just see here. Ah, Let me give you a little more simple. Okay, this is a more simple definition. Cholesterol is a waxy, fat-like substance that your body needs for good health, but in the right amount. Unhealthy levels of cholesterol can lead to a condition called high blood cholesterol. Cholesterol in your blood is carried on lipoproteins. That would be probably a protein bound with a fat. Low-density lipoprotein, sometimes called bad cholesterol. So it's fat. It's a fatty-like substance, basically, technically.
The body produces it itself?
Yeah, your body produces all the cholesterol you need, and usually the body does not produce too much. When people eat animal products, then they get more cholesterol because they're getting the cholesterol from animals. Now, when a person who is plant-based is getting a high cholesterol reading, there's generally something that may be going wrong because cholesterol does tend to be used as a bandage when there's a lot of inflammation. For example, if you have things irritating your vessels, blood vessels, the body will increase the cholesterol output to kind of patch it up, and that's what eventually causes plaque buildup and can cause, you know, things like heart attacks and strokes, that kind of thing. So we want to make sure we're cleansed and do some cleanses and juicing and try to reduce inflammation. Also, if you're under a lot of stress, your body tends to produce more cholesterol. And if you eat a lot of sugar, your body tends to produce more cholesterol. So those are some reasons why a person who is plant-based might have a high cholesterol.
I just want to say that even when I was eating animal products, I never had a high count of cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And I have not eaten any animal products for about a year now, but I've lost about 10 pounds. And I was wondering, you know, I don't know why I lost the weight. I know, and I was thinking it must be because of the fat. I know the fat causes you to gain weight. Is that correct?
Yes. See, there is definitely more fat in animal products than in generally in plant products. So when you went and became plant-based, you were taking in less fat. But, you know, fat is fat. Cholesterol is fat-like, okay? So, you know, you have different types of fats and saturated fats, for example, that are in animal products. And so when you eat a plant-based diet, you generally will lose some weight if you are possibly a little overweight, you know, that type of thing. So that's not an uncommon thing that you lose a few pounds.
Oh, okay, because I was concerned about, why did I lose the weight? And I noticed it's because I haven't eaten animal fat for about a year now, so I lost about 10 pounds, so...
Yeah, you know, we tend to associate weight loss with disease, but that's not really the case. There are some situations where, you know, excessive weight loss is the result of a health condition. But, yes, just know that when you become plant-based, you may lose a few pounds.
Yes, because even, you know, with my situation with my left nose and all that being removed, you know, I guess that would help too, I guess. I don't know. I was just concerned why I would lose the weight. That's all.
Yes, ma'am. I think it sounds to me like it's just the natural, you're just taking in less fat. But there is definitely less fat in plant foods. There are some foods that are good sources of fat, like avocados and olives and even nuts. We want to take them sparingly. We don't need too much fat in our diet. That's a myth. That's an actual fallacy that we need all this. They don't say fat. They usually say protein. But when it's animal, it usually comes with fat, too. So, you know, plant-based proteins, plant-based fats are superior than animal fats and animal proteins.
Okay. So anyway, it's good speaking with you and everyone on the line, and hope everyone have a blessed day because God is still blessing me and my family. And I ask you to keep us in prayer. looking forward to my grandson getting married in October, and also my granddaughter's engaged, so I don't know when she is going to be getting married. But anyway, I hope the Lord spares my life to see it. And, you know, I don't talk to them anymore about worshiping on the first day of the week, because at least maybe God will direct their path and their eyes will be open to know that the seventh day of the week is Saturday, and start to worship on that day. So keep us in prayer, and everyone have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, and we surely will keep you and your family in prayer. Tradition is powerful, friends, but it's not more powerful than the power of God. But we must trust God and not tradition. When tradition differs from the word of God, we follow God. Nothing wrong with tradition. That is in harmony with God. But the world has developed this false teaching that that the church traditions are more important than God's word. And so, friends, every denomination, that's why God is going to have a people, a remnant. Every large denomination has some traditions, and unfortunately, they have some that are different from God's word, that differ from God's word. I have not found any major one that does not. Sometimes it's just something we push that's not like it could be all your tithe has to go here. That's a tradition. It's not really in the word of God. And so, you know, but we make people feel like they're not paying their tithe if they want to support people who are doing God's work that are not under some particular umbrella. So, again, we have traditions. Let's make sure we're following the word of God. All right, my brothers and sisters, there's no one else in the queue. We thank God for each of you. At this time, we will close out, and I would ask my wife, Undreamda, to take us to the throne of grace at this time. Keep in mind, we're not having a broadcast tomorrow morning.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for the fellowship as well. We do, Lord, thank you for our dear mother, Winston, who came on the line and shared what's on her heart and mind this morning. And we do pray for her and her family, Lord. We know that it is difficult for our family members to understand the Sabbath. It's difficult for them to even consider giving up that day and having it as a day of worship, when for so long in their lives it's always been programmed, and for them to be able to work on that day, to stop and to entertain and to do so many other things, it's hard for them to think about that day has been holy. But Lord, we know that you did set the seventh day aside for holiness. And we do pray for everyone who has family members that struggle with this issue, that you will continue to allow your Holy Spirit to work on them and to help them, Lord, as they do attend Sunday services, prompt them to think even deeper and even more so about the day of worship. And we pray that you will bless every heart on this line. We ask for spiritual, mental, and physical healing to be granted. We pray for those that are going through severe trials and tribulations right now. We know many are burdened and perplexed with so much that they're having to take on. And they need your wisdom. They need your guidance, your direction. They need your deliverance, Lord. And may we remember that we are to cast every burden upon you. And when we do, we leave it with you, allowing you to be able to work out every single detail in accordance with your perfect will. We know you are a God who fights for your people, a God who is faithful to your people. And may we remember that and trust that and believe it. Because without your word and without you in our lives, we have nothing, and we are doomed to destruction. But we thank you, Lord, that you have promised never to leave or to forsake us, that you will be with us even until the end of the world, And no matter what our trials are, we know that we have a God who is fighting for us, a God who will bring about deliverance, and a God who will have our faith to be tested. Lord, let us be faithful and victorious in all that we go through, no matter what the circumstances are. We pray, Lord, that we will be able to be a living testimony when it's all done and said, to help others to be able to be victorious in their trials. We thank you for hearing our prayer this morning, Lord, and we do ask that special blessings will be granted to those on this day. And for those that are traveling, we ask for traveling mercies to be granted, for protection to be given, because we know there are those on the road that still like to drive under the influence of alcohol, those that still like to be able to be ruthless in their driving. And Lord, we just pray that your hand of protection will be around and about every vehicle. And we do ask that when it's all done and said, you are glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open wings before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship.